Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Throws to the back of the end zone, and it is caught! One-handed grab! Touchdown, Devin Duvernay!
Reaching up to grab him, Mike Gesicki with a Dolphin touchdown!
Looking for Hollywood Brown, end zone! Touchdown, Hollywood Brown! Oh, what a throw and catch!
What a great play by Xavien Howard!
They're throwing, they waddle at the slot, touchdown Miami! Fires, touchdown, Mark Andrews!
Tua keeps it, touchdown Miami!
Lamar Jackson, he'll keep it on the read option, and he flips in for the touchdown!
We'll see lots of touchdowns tonight, I'm sure, in an AFC showdown. It's game day, Thursday Night Football tonight. Ravens going to Miami to take on the Dolphins tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network, on Fox, and streaming on Prime Video. Welcome to our show, to our breakfast table. GMFB presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Myself, Kay Adams, on this November 11th alongside Peter Schrager and Kyle Brandt, and a seven-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro center for the Jets right here in New York City. Lots of O-line talk with our buddy Nick Mangold.
What up, Nick?
Nick.
Seven Pro Bowls?
Seven of them.
Did you make the trip, Hawaii? Tricky,
of course.
You love it?
Every time I could.
Every time.
Every time I could.
More fun, the pool scene or the actual game when you go to those?
The pool scene. I mean, yeah. You get to hang out with the NFL's royalty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, mm-hmm. Me and Peyton Manning just kind of hanging out.
Bud Light Seltzers.
Yeah. Strong.
Now you got to hang out with us three. How the mighty have fallen. It's time for the lead block.
Time for the lead block.
Cameron Wolf, who we love, is down in Miami, which we also love. Cameron, we are just hours away now from Thursday night action on NFL Network. Do we need to keep our eyes on any injuries tonight? All of these promo reads that they give me, and I'm looking at the scripts, and it's all Tua versus Lamar. Is it?
Okay, we'll find out in about maybe 6 or 7 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours before the game. Tua will have an official workout here in the field behind me to see how that fractured middle finger is. I've been told the expectation is that Jacoby Brissett will be the starter for the Dolphins tonight, but they're leaving open the door for Tua to surprise them a bit. Look, Tua wants to play. Heck, we want him to play. It's a more interesting story. I think that if he's healthy, it's a better game, but they're really watching what the grip is in his fingers. Really the discomfort is not a pain issue for him. It's the ability to throw the ball and really have ball security. That quarterback center exchange is difficult with that middle finger. But if you're telling me there's a chance, there is a chance. They're going to give him a shot and see how he can do in the pregame workout. If not, it'll be Jacoby Brissett. Two other injuries to watch, and fantasy football owners, pay attention. Sammy Watkins, the Ravens receiver, is expected to be back, though he's questionable. He's missed the last three games with a thigh injury. I'm interested to see how the Ravens divvy up those snaps between him and Rashad Bateman. And Latavius Murray, not expected to play. So another week of Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell in the backfield for the Ravens.
You're all over it, Cameron. We were hoping for a different report here in the third hour. We thought there might be a Tua update. All of a sudden, it feels better. I know you want it. We want it. There's still time. We're still holding out hope. In the meantime, on the other side, so we remember the Ravens lost their top two running backs before the season even started. It was decimating. It felt that way anyway. So how do they still lead the league in rushing yards per game?
Kyle, there's not a lot you can count on in an NFL year to year being consistent, but the Ravens having a great running attack is definitely one of them. It starts with Lamar Jackson, right? They're 10-0 this year when he rushes for 100-plus yards like he did last week against the Vikings. He's actually on pace to break his own single-season rushing record for a quarterback this year. And what's really impressive has been what they've done in the backfield. You mentioned it. They lost J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards before the season started. They've been banged up on that offensive line, but GM Eric DaCosta went aggressive, got a couple of those veteran running backs in Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, and it's worked out well so far. And Bell said this week he really appreciated that the Ravens didn't put a lot on his plate early on, and he's finally getting his full legs under him. And we saw that last week. Him and Freeman balled out. They had 127 yards over 5 yards a carry, and the Ravens are really happy with where they are as a duo going forward. If the Ravens lead the league in rushing again, it'd be 3 straight years. That hasn't been done since the Michael Vick and Warwick Dunn era, and the Ravens are well on their way to do it.
Well, we hope they do it tonight. Cameron, you're in that beautiful stadium. There is no one around you. We're going to do Throwdown Thursday. I scream it here in studio. I need you to scream it with me there on that field, okay? On the count of three. Just scream Throwdown Thursday. Are you ready?
Got you.
1, 2, 3. Throwdown!
Throwdown Thursday!
Yeah! Yeah!
Thank you so much. Well done. Great job. I've had to feel good, right? Just to scream at the top of your lungs. Let's stick with Thursday night action. Both the Ravens and Dolphins will be coming to a crossroads with their quarterbacks this offseason. Two very different situations. What is the bigger upcoming decision? The Lamar Jackson looming extension for Baltimore or Tua Tagovailoa's future in South Beach?
This is called off-season Good Morning Football, where we'll be digging deep into both of these. I think the bigger decision is Tua, because I think now Lamar, it's almost a formality. They're going to extend him. Mm-hmm. After the season he's having this year, after what he's doing, I don't think there's any more questions about whether the Ravens' future involves Lamar. Tua, I don't know.
Talk about
it. We know that they flirted with the idea of Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. They had conversations with the Texans. There were terms even discussed when those two teams spoke. They backed away. They didn't feel comfortable with the Watson situation. Understandable. It's not a huge... resounding vote of confidence for Tua. And I know there are a lot of Tua fans in that Dolphins fan base saying, who would thrive in this situation? Who would play well in the situation?
It's true.
Bottom line is, you got to be on the field and you got to show some signs of improvement before the season's over, or those questions are going to be natural. Dolphins have a lot of needs. The draft is already on people's minds with where they're going to be picking. But I would say the Tua situation as a whole, not necessarily his future with the team. He might be the backup. He might be the starter. I don't know. But gosh, Tua is such a question mark every day on our show. Just wait till the offseason.
Offseason is going to be real for him. And I agree with you. I think the Lamar Jackson contract extension is going to be not when or if. It's just going to be how much. And so I think the bigger question for Tua is what's going to happen from here through the questions. Like, there's going to be time where you're like, well, can we get Aaron Rodgers? Can we get Deshaun Watson? Are we able to find somebody in the draft that we like better? Or is Tua our best option? I don't know. And that's the thing that, like, the GM for the Miami Dolphins is going to have to struggle with, because that is such a huge question mark. And unless you see a marked improvement after this finger injury, you're still going to go in the offseason with questions. And when you come in with questions, that means they're going to look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be swirling.
Aaron Rodgers,
and then,
all of it.
And then it just keeps going, and it's a spiral.
That's why he has to get out there tonight.
It's crazy. I would hope so. But I'm not on the same page. What's interesting about the Lamar thing is the 9 figures that come with it and how much they're going to be. That's about it. It's going to happen. The Tua thing is wild. I mean, it really is. And Peter, I think we can't undersell this. You can't oversell it. The Dolphins inquired actively about Deshaun Watson and then came back and said, we believe in Tua. Like, no, you don't. That is, can you imagine dealing with that? He was psychologically castrated by his own team. Like, I don't know how you perform as an athlete in that when that happened. It's profound. And even if, personally, I believe that if Deshaun Watson's name is cleared somehow, he will be the Dolphins starting quarterback at some point. I really believe. I think he wants it. I think they want it. So you got to go out there and win games in a terrible team like this. Like, I sympathize, but at the same time, like, he hasn't made himself undeniable. He hasn't made them. That whole thing about we're checking in with Watson, but we believe in Tua, we're doing our due diligence. No, because the Bengals aren't checking in about Deshaun Watson. They believe in their young quarterback. The Chargers aren't checking in with Deshaun Watson. They don't believe in him. My question is, if they don't get Deshaun Watson, if he has nothing to do with it, still is Tua their quarterback next year? Like, the list of quarterbacks who were top 10 picks who got 2 years and that's it, I don't even know if it exists. Like, Jamarcus Russell got 3 years. It doesn't happen. And yet, it might here. And it's such a negative story, and I hope it turns out completely wrong. But the Tua thing is, not just this year, almost in the last 50 years, you haven't seen something spin the drain this quickly.
That's well said. At Jim, if you with your thoughts here on Throwdown Thursday. Finally, let's talk some Hall of Famers,
all right,
shall we? Okay. Who's the more iconic in the city of Miami? Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, a combo, guys. Two Ravens legends that had historic careers, of course, at the U, the University of Miami. Or Hall of Fame Dolphins quarterback, just awesome. One, Dan Marino. Throwdown Thursday, KB.
This is fun. We don't get a lot of two versus one, but I like the way we did this. And I'm just going to put myself in Miami, and I'm walking down the middle of the street. I don't know, because I'm drunk. And on the left is Marino.
Okay.
And on the right is Ed and Ray. And I'm like, who do I want to go talk to? Who do I want? I'm going over to the Canes. I'm going over to the Canes. Dan is great. He's an icon. But, like, I watch these dudes. I was a little young for Marino. Mangold, I know you love some college football, maybe more than anybody. Is this not firing you up? Or would you go over to the Marino side of the street?
It is firing me up. What's really firing me up is the size of Ray's shoulder pads.
That was illegal.
Those things are huge. And so I played with Ed Reed, and he is Mr. Cool. Like, he is unbelievable. But for me, Miami... It's Dan Marino.
Okay. Like, all right. I mean, it's fair.
I mean, you said the statue in the
stadium. He does have a statue.
Like, it's just, I think when you think of it, Miami is Dan. Like, you can't go any other way.
Mm-hmm.
I can.
I'm going Ed and Ray. I said you can't.
I'm going Ed and Ray. I love Marino. Marino's never played for another team. Marino's maybe the greatest arm in NFL history. Mm-hmm. He's Dan Marino. We get it. Everything. Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, that's the U. Like, that's the U. That is something special. That is something cool. That is something. I've got a friend who's a diehard Miami fan. These guys, when they both ended up on the Ravens, yeah, it was like, I'm a Ravens fan.
Sure.
Like, that's it. Both of them were not top 10 picks. Both of them came in at the end of the first round for the Ravens in separate years. Obviously, Ray preceded Ed, and both of them were defensive player of the years and great Super Bowl champions for the Ravens. But to me, Miami football, I don't think Dolphins. I think Canes. Mm-hmm. And whether it was Jimmy Johnson or Larry Coker or Dennis Erickson or whoever, mm-hmm, I think in this era of football, mm-hmm, going Ed and Ray.
Mm-hmm. Ed and Ray versus Dan Marino. Let us know how you guys feel at Jim McPhee. Tom Pelissero is going to join us right now as we are all on Odell Beckham Jr. Watch. We wait with bated breath to see where the wide receiver lands up. What's the latest? Who's in the running? And I just need a timeline to wrap my head around. How long is this going to go on?
It may be going on a little bit longer, Kay. There is strong interest from multiple teams in Odell Beckham Jr., but it doesn't sound like he is close to a decision just yet. Our Ian Rappaport and Kim Jones reported on Wednesday night that Odell plans to take some time to decide on his next team, and that decision may still be a few days away. Obviously, that would mean that Odell probably is not going to be making his debut in a new uniform this weekend in Week 10. So who is interested? It's a lot of the teams that we have been talking about. The Packers, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Patriots. Most of those teams also are tight against the salary cap. So don't be surprised if Odell ends up signing for a lot closer to the veteran minimum than the $7.25 million he would have been due if he had been claimed off waivers, Kay.
Prove a year, shortened season with a contender. I can see it. Thanks so much, Tom Pelissero. I'll also ask you about Dalvin Cook, who addressed the media yesterday. He's been accused of assault, of other very serious charges. So what's the latest there?
Okay, the NFL says it is monitoring developments and will review the situation under the personal conduct policy. But as of now, the status has not changed of Vikings running back Dalvin Cook, who spoke with reporters on Wednesday and said he will play on Sunday against the Chargers. A woman who had a relationship with Cook alleged in a civil lawsuit filed on Tuesday that Cook assaulted her at his Minnesota home back in November of 2020. Cook, through his attorney, acknowledges that there was an altercation, but claims that the woman unlawfully entered Cook's home and that he acted in self-defense. Now, because this is a civil matter, not a criminal matter, Cook, as of now, does not meet the criteria for going on the commissioner's exempt list, a.k.a. paid leave. That would only change if he is charged with a felony, if he is charged with a crime of violence, or if an initial investigation leads the commissioner to believe that Cook may have committed one of those acts. Okay?
Appreciate the update there. It's Gracelyn Trimble, the name of the woman that we're talking about. Thanks. We'll be tracking this story all day long on NFL Network. for something we call Quick Snap, presented by Microsoft Windows 11. We have a lot of exciting matchups in Week 9. Here's how it's going to work. I'll give you guys a question. Use your Microsoft Surfaces, which looks so tiny in front of Nick.
It does.
It's so
funny.
It's
like Zoolander's phone.
Show us the two players that you're going with as your answer and tell us why it makes sense. Okay, here we go. Week 10, a lot of great matchups on the field. Which pair of players, coaches, or team units are you most looking forward to seeing face off this week? Do you know there's a lot of good matchups this week, Triggs?
Oh, there are. There's a bunch. I'm going to give you one that I think is going to be talked about by both teams' fans. It's Shanahan-McVay Bowl, part
Love
one
awesome.
Again.
Let's go.
Here we
Let's
go. If you know the story, Kyle Shanahan right now is 32-40 as a head coach, and there are people chirping in the Bay saying, all right, you take out that one Super Bowl season, what is going on with this era? And then there's other folks saying, all right, but he owns McVay. And he does. They beat the Rams a lot. Seems like Kyle Shanahan, who was McVay's boss when they were in Washington together, has some sort of edge over McVay when it comes to these games. Even when the Rams have better seasons overall, the 49ers still manage to beat them. I think this is a showdown. It's Monday Night Football. I'm excited for this. It's the last game of the week in both teams, especially the Rams coming off that weird looking kind of hapless against the Titans. They need one just as bad as the 49ers, who have not won a home game in 8 straight contests.
Yeah.
5 in their building, 3 in Arizona, but 8 straight games at home.
Yeah.
The 49ers have not won. Hey, someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. Right. So let's go.
You can't just say, take away the Super Bowl season. I hate when they do that. You can take that away. That's an incredible accomplishment.
What do you got?
What do you think?
It's a real thing. All right, so here I'm going with the Browns O-line versus the Patriots D-line. I think it's going to be a great matchup. The Browns offensive line is running the ball like no one's business. They're dominating right now. They have my guy, Bill Callahan, as their offensive line coach. He's coming up with schemes. They've been injured a little bit, and they've still plugged and played. They keep dominating. The Patriots' run defense is at the bottom of the league. And so I think that's going to be a big key to this game. I think it's also going to be something fun to watch because I like the big guys up front. And I want to see them dominate against a team that I just don't like.
You don't like the Patriots.
Yeah. So you hate the Dolphins and you don't like the Patriots. You hate them both. We're trying to keep track of this.
Yes. So far, you're right on.
All right, Buffalo, you're next. I'm going with these two. These are the Titans wide receivers and the Saints DBs.
Love it.
Chirp, 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 chirp. AJ was into it with Jalen last week. These Saints guys are always into it. And here's why I like it. I feel like the Saints defense, the secondary in particular, feels like they need to play their best football right now because of their quarterback situation. The Titans wide receivers feel like they need to play their best football right now because of the Derrick Henry situation. There is an urgency for both of these groups. There's a lot of energy for both of these groups, and I still don't think we have seen the true Julio Jones coming out party as a Titan. This is a great matchup. A lot of stuff after the whistle. Don't taunt, but a lot of stuff after the whistle. I'm into it.
We got a feisty one on that Saints.
There, feisty is a good word for it.
A real live wire.
Yeah.
Stick with me on this one, ready? This is so random.
All right, take your time with it.
271 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
Just think back what you were doing 271 years ago today. The Flat Hat Club, or FHC Society, as they call it, was founded at the College of William and Mary. It was the first recorded collegiate secret society. It was a precursor to what we now call fraternities. I'd like to, so random, which pair, I just really wanted everyone out there to know that today.
It's cool.
Which pair of players or coaches would you most want to pledge a fraternity with, Peter?
It's a natural great question.
Flat Hat natural Society. Segue. We had to talk about it today.
271st.
Yeah.
That's it.
They were before skulls, even all that?
Secret societies. Give me these two big boys. Give me Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh. I would love to go anywhere with these guys, but if you remember back to your college days, or if you're in college now, or if you're an aspiring college student, fraternities, a lot of them like to talk that trash to the other fraternities.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And sometimes there were guys who looked like me or a little smaller than me who would like to talk that trash. There was always two guys like this. I'm with my guys over here. So, here we are. This is it. Give me Sue. Give me Vea. Give me the Pi Kappa Alphas. That's my fraternity.
Pi Kappa Alpha.
Pi Kappa Alpha, Beta, Trapper, whatever it is.
No.
But yes, fraternity life. Having two guys like this would always be a little easier walking into the opposing fraternity's building for a sporting event, intramurals, or maybe just mixing it up and having a good wrestle for all good times.
Aren't those guys making you do atomic sit-ups or something?
No, not in my fraternity.
Yeah, right.
We did community service.
Did you? Yes. Soup kitchens?
No, that's it.
Nick, who do you want to pledge with?
All right, so if I was pledging, drinking my beloved fraternity Tri Kappa Kega.
Tri Kappa Kega?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I would go with these party guys here. Rex Ryan and Joe Namath. Rex Ryan, unbelievable, loves to have a great time. He will fight for you, yep, without a doubt. He'll throw a fist. And Joe Namath, I mean, Joe Willie.
Come on now. Come on now.
He is the guy. Fur coat.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Rico Suave coming in. Like, mm-hmm, you can't stop that action.
Spring formal, he's great.
Oh, he'd be unbelievable. Those are my two guys. I would have loved to have them join us. It would have been fantastic. It would have been beautiful.
Try
Tapa Kega.
Yeah. Joe shows up with, mm-hmm, the classy plastic bottle of the pop-off. And like, then you know, that's how you know he's the cool brother. All right. This might show. I was in a fraternity in college.
No.
Yes.
No.
I was the president of the fraternity. I'm going to go against type. And I knew that we had a hell week. And what you wanted to do more than anything was just shut the hell up, keep your mouth closed, and be tough. Give me these two guys. Give me Fields and Robinson. Don't speak. Just take your medicine. Be tough. Take the hits. We'll get through this. We went to some places. We went to some difficult, difficult places that probably would get my university in trouble if I even brought it up right now. It was a different time back in the late 90s. So I want these guys, who are two of maybe the toughest players mentally and physically that we have seen on the field this year, with what they're going through, the hazing that they've taken, sometimes by the opponents, sometimes by their coaches, sometimes by the officials. And I just respect the hell out of them. The best pledge is the ones that shut up, recite the sacred scrolls of the fraternity before the match burns their fingers off. I'm sorry. That's what I would say for the Bears.
What?
Flashbacks. We used to have to do a thing called sugar cookies. I can't even get into it. But
did
these
it
guys
make you the
it.
Man you are today?
No, it made me the jerk I am today, though. And that's what I'm proud of.
Hey, sorority or no?
No. Too cool.
No.
Question. Who came up with this question? Where did this? Who? I would just love to know the inception. And by the way, I was joking about too cool, but I wasn't in a sorority. I couldn't afford it.
We are the masters of anniversaries on this. We any anniversary that's ever happened. Years. I think
who
we just look up the date.
This?
Probably David Ziplo.
Nick, welcome to the breakfast table. We're actually going to be talking about the Jets in this very first story in my news hit. As a matter of fact, earlier this week, Jets head coach Robert Saleh saying that rookie quarterback Zach Wilson was actually trending in the right direction when it comes to his knee injury, but apparently he's not there just yet. So that means another week of... yes, Mike White, or should I say Mike Ethan White. Saleh announcing Wednesday that White will start Sunday against the Bills. The recently acquired Joe Flacco will serve as White's backup. Week 8 winner of Angry Runs, Chris Godwin joins the Bucs list of injured receivers. Godwin did not practice Wednesday and was added to the injury list as he deals with a foot injury. Also still not practicing for Tampa is tight end Rob Gronkowski and wide receiver Antonio Brown. Now, despite all the injuries at the receiving corps, don't include the Buccaneers on the list of teams that are in the market for Odell Beckham Jr. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Kim Jones, the free agent receiver expected to take a few days to make a decision on his future, but head coach Bruce Arians saying he won't be landing in Tampa.
No. Too many letters. I already got AB. I don't need OBJ.
All right, so FWIW, no IBJ, NTB for BAASAPIMHOSMH. Okay, guys?
Nice.
Sorry, I'm not going to do that. Thank you so much. See you later. Bye, Will. We'll talk to you in a bit.
T-Y-L.
Last week was Upset City. I don't need to spell it out. Teams like the Rams, the Bills, the Cowboys, the Saints all took L's, but it is a new week, another opportunity for these squads to get back on track for the second half. Kyle, what team are you willing to put your name on? We'll bounce back and turn it around this week.
I'll put my name on it right now. It's going to be the Los Angeles Rams. That was a crazy thing that happened against the Tennessee Titans. You know what a skunking is? You play your friend in ping pong and you get up 8-0. It's called a skunk. You cancel the game right away, even though you're playing to 21. They got skunked in this game. Stafford said it himself. I basically gave them 14 points. It's two of the worst plays that Stafford's made in years. He knows that. It's an anomaly. You can't stop Cooper Kupp. I still believe in the Rams. They got skunked, but they will not get beat this weekend.
I'm going to go back 2 weeks. The last time we saw the Buccaneers, they got destroyed by the Saints and Trevor Siemian, right, and Alex Arma Jr. scoring touchdowns. I feel like Brady's been festering. Brady's been waiting. Brady's been sizzling. And I know you've seen this, Nick Mangold, in your career with the Jets. You don't want an angry Tom Brady, and you certainly don't want an angry Tom Brady coming off a bye. They play Washington. Watch out. I feel like the Bucks are going to come out, and they're going to light it up and say, hey, no, 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 no. We are the kings of the NFC, and we're the kings of the NFL. Here we come.
Oh, an angry Tom Brady is not a fun Tom Brady. For my team, I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I think the Broncos game, you know, you put that behind you. You move on. You know that you have a great defense. Dak Prescott just needs to play a little bit better, and they'd be fine. They're going to do great. It's going to be a bounce back game. They're going to dominate. I have no qualms in picking that. I'm very confident.
Atlanta's won a couple games here.
It's the Falcons. Please.
I'll look at the Bills. The Bills offensively, borderline, I'm going to say lifeless the past 2 weeks. They really have been very lackluster, very out of rhythm, out of sync. And if you look at this, don't let this 26-11 score against the Dolphins fool you, because this team had 3 points with 4 minutes left in the third quarter and tacked on some points late. They followed it up with just 6 points last week in a loss to the Jaguars. Find your rhythm. The best thing to do in this situation, if you're feeling a little off, you look at the schedule and you have a team that is struggling called the Jets. Sorry, Nick.
I'm sitting right here.
I love you, Nick, but you know it's true. It's a get-right game.
I'm sitting
And I think that this offense can regain its confidence up against a team that is missing their best player, Marcus May.
Not happy right now.
Lots of fun games this weekend. Baker Mayfield and the Browns going to Foxborough Sunday to take on Mac Jones and the Patriots. Both teams coming off big Week 9 wins. Both very interesting. And we've got Mike Giardi to break down the matchup. Mike.
What's that saying? Find someone who loves you the way Bill Belichick loves, well, in this case, Myles Garrett. He raved about the defensive end for the Browns in advance of their game on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. He said he's powerful. He's explosive. He's got speed. He's got quickness. You can't fool him. Basically, there's nothing Myles Garrett can't do. And the Patriots have had a hard time at left tackle this season. In fact, they've stabilized their offensive line. That's been the one spot that's been an issue. Garrett, 14 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, 26 hurries, this according to Pro Football Focus. Isaiah Wynn is on that left side. However, some news, Trent Brown, their right tackle to start the year, played just 7 snaps before hurting his calf, was back at practice. He played for the Patriots at left tackle in 2018. He was fantastic. Perhaps, when healthy, he slides into left tackle. Just don't know if it'll be that this week against Myles Garrett.
Mike Giardi shot out of an absolute cannon this morning.
Like,
maybe get some decaf in your system once in a while. All right, great stuff from Mike. And it is exciting because the AFC is all tied up. High stakes for both squads. They each sit at 5-4. They're in the midst of a 5-way tie, which is so fun in the AFC playoff picture. Who would a win be more meaningful for in this game, Browns or Pats?
You know, Kay, it's funny because the Patriots are this red-hot team, and we think of Belichick, and you think of McDaniels. But the Browns are the team that went to the playoffs last year, and the Browns are the team that have the actual experience with this group of, like, going to that big game and winning that big game. I don't know if the Patriots – the Browns need to beat the Patriots this weekend. The Browns need to say, hey – the Odell situation, that doesn't define us. We dealt with that last week, and we won 41-16 over the Bengals. And now this is an opportunity for us to go take care of business against a team that we should beat. Baker Mayfield, a lot of eyes on this guy. Mm-hmm. We always talk about him here on this show. There are people who are fans of it. Go and win this game. Beat a rookie quarterback. Go have your day. And then the Browns are 6-4, and they're primed for that playoff run. To me, this is one of those deals where I know it's in New England. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are looking at the banners and the jerseys and what the Patriots have been doing late and the coaches and whatever. Hey, Cleveland, go win a big game. Mm-hmm. Go do it, Baker.
Who does it mean more for? Mm-hmm.
It means more, I believe, for the Browns. And because of the history, like you said, of New England, you see the banners, you see the players, you see Bill Belichick, and you come in there and you say, listen, we belong in this AFC discussion. We belong here. We need to knock off the long-time AFC champion. And so that's what they need to go in. They got to play great defense, you know, get after this rookie quarterback, which I think they can. You know, Bill Belichick talking about Myles Garrett kind of puts a little radar on him. I think they're going to have something planned up for him, a lot of chips and everything, just because he did talk to him, talked about him. But I think that he's still going to shine in that defense.
Go the other way.
Imagine if the Patriots win this game.
That's what I'm saying.
Imagine if they win like 37-20.
Yeah.
And it's like now they've won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
It's getting dark really early.
5 out of 6.
You know, it's cold now. The Patriots are back. They haven't really beaten anybody that impressive. They have rolled off some wins, but, like, this is the one. This is not a fluke. This is not a cute storyline. If they do this with a rookie quarterback and start reeling off wins, because I'm always looking at the wide view of it.
100%.
Of the Belichick thing, of the Belichick post-Brady. Mac Jones didn't hand any of those banners in that stadium. He had nothing to do with it. Nothing. If Belichick gets to the playoffs year two post-Brady, if Belichick wins the East year two post-Brady with a rookie, God, that's a whole different chapter in the book. This is so meaningful. So, sure, the Browns, fine, they're good. I think they need it, too. I think the ramifications of the Patriots winning this thing is like they could win the whole AFC East. They could win the playoff game. Talk about it.
That wide open.
I get fired up for it. I think it'd be bigger for them.
If the Browns beat the Patriots in Foxborough, you're still not looking at the Browns differently. Like if they win, it's like, okay, well, the AFC is still really tough and it's still a gauntlet. Your own division's a mess. So, look, I wouldn't be like this strong takeaway, but winning 5 out of 6, starting the year 1-3, everybody putting a bow on Belichick and company and wrapping them, I would just look at the Patriots like way differently if they pull this one out again.
They have a good record. One. And they they beat the Jets and the Panthers and they beat the Chargers. But I think the Browns handled the Odell thing last week. I think that was the answer to Odell. Is Peoples Jones long? I don't think that's a story for them this week. I think it's Patriots.
I also think the Patriots' losses were important. They lost but played great against Tampa. They lost but played great against Dallas. Like, those were confidence builders where, hey, second half of the season, we've been in these close games. We've been in this. They haven't been great at home. They've got one win at home, and it's been over your team, the Jets. I think they can beat the Browns, but gosh, if Baker can put this in his back pocket in his resume and be like, guys, I just did that.
Mac Jones on the road, undefeated. He's a good little rookie on the road, but he gets to be at home. And if they win, the Patriots, they will be right back in the thick of it with the Bills.
Game day in the National Football League. We got Dolphins, Ravens tonight in just a matter of hours right here on the Niffle. So we like to call our shot. Some shots before the big game. Nick Mangold, shout out a Columbus, Ohio bar that you might have shot at.
I think they're all closed now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Nice.
Probably because of me.
That's right. Okay, close them down. Nick, we don't mind
not
that
Not one
all.
Bar. You can't think of one.
Yeah.
I think they all closed down.
What was yours?
I went to the Nassau Inn, and I would do all kinds. Peter, what was yours?
Maggie's,
Adams.
My bartender at Willie's Pub and Pool, baby.
Willie's Pub and Pool. Peter, you want to call a shot for tonight?
Yeah, so I've had a long history with a rookie in this league, a player on the Ravens, who is a defensive end and a pass rush demon. His name is Odafe Owe. Nice. Odafe Owe.
You're all grown up.
I have mispronounced his name over 100 times on this very show.
Whose name, Odafe Owe?
No. Odafe Owe.
Yes.
Joe Buck is a pro. My prediction is that not only does he have 2 sacks, but Joe Buck seamlessly pronounces his name correctly, does not call him Owa, does not call him Odafe, and does not mess up his name. Odafe Owe will have 2 sacks, and Joe Buck will nail the pronunciation. My call tonight.
What do you think, Nick?
Love it. All right, I'm going. I want the Ravens to run the ball, but listen, it's prime time. Lamar's going to go off. All right. So we're getting 3 touchdown passes out of Lamar.
Okay.
It's going to be fantastic. He's going to be slinging the rock. He's going to show that they don't have to run the ball to win. We all want them to jump out and win from the get-go, not come from behind. And I think they'll do that by throwing 3 touchdown passes.
Ooh, I just love that Rashad Bateman's going to get some primetime love. One of those 3 touchdown passes you're talking about will go to Rashad, who doesn't have one. He hasn't had his first career touchdown yet, but he's been so good. This is kind of wild. He's 4th on the team in receiving despite playing just 3 games. He's played 3 games all year. He's been great since coming back from injury. I say he scores his first touchdown. I can't wait for the nation to see it.
Ooh, that'll be electric. We all owe a debt of gratitude to Troy Aikman, who'll be on the call tonight, who I believe watches the show every single morning. So hello, Troy. I think he watches it on the exercise bike. Troy, I don't know if you're a Kendall Tool guy. I'm part of the tool shed. If you are, I respect it. I think that Troy Aikman will hype Pat Ricard tonight, exactly who's the fullback of the Baltimore Ravens. And when he does, he will specifically mention Peter Schrager's breakdown of Pat Ricard on Good Morning Football by show name and by host name. Peter, you hyped him earlier in the week.
Yeah, Pat Ricard is a fullback, and on their big drive down 24-10, they went to Ricard 3 different times, and he scored the touchdown. And it down. Troy respects Good Morning Football. I know he respects
Peter. Yeah, Peter Schrager was hyping him up on Good Morning Football. It's going to be great.
Troy is on a bike looking badass, and Kurt Warner's like jazzercise. Why are those the images of the
Kurt's all resistance bands and leg warmers. And Troy has got a 50-pound dumbbell at his head.
Thursday Night Football, countdown now.